Let's stand together tonight. My God is a faithful God. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful song. Beautiful truth that we have tonight. Amen. Did you come to hear preaching tonight? Hear the Word of God? Something I felt on my heart today, and I want us to go to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47. And hopefully this will help someone tonight, give you something that you can take with you. Hopefully it will strengthen you in your resolve to live for God, to do the will of God. Genesis chapter 47, verse 13. And if you will indulge me tonight, I want to read down to verse 26. And I know it'll be a little bit of a reading, but it will give us the story and the context and help us here tonight. Genesis 47 and 13. And there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth." And Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for the flocks, and for the cattle of the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year, and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. So the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so that the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities, from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them. Wherefore they sold not their lands. Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the increase for the seed of the field and for your food and for them of your households and for food for your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law. Everybody said, a law. Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. Amen. Amen. I want to title this tonight something that's very familiar to us, I suppose. I want to title this Law and Order. Law and Order. Somebody say that with me tonight. Law and order. You've heard that. We've got to have law and order. And the sheriff came into town to enforce law and order. Right? Well, praise the Lord. It's an old saying, but it holds true. Law and order go together. Let's pray together tonight. Let's ask for the help of the Lord and the strength of God. Thank you for truth that we find in your word. Open our hearts and our minds tonight. Instruct us in your ways and help us. We give you thanks. We give you praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I'm going to move quickly. I have a lot of ground to cover here. But when we look here at this story in the life of Joseph and how he was elevated to be Pharaoh, we see here in the scripture that we read, Joseph made it a law. Everybody said law. Law. This is the very first place in the Bible where this is mentioned. Amen. Where the word law in this context is mentioned in the Bible. And if you are a student of the Bible and you want to learn the Word of God and study the Word of God, there is a principle that is known. It is called the law of first mention. And it is significant because when something is mentioned for the very first time, it has a significance to it and something that can be studied out and learned about that. And many things, of course, can be gleaned from the story of Joseph. And suffice it to say tonight, I think we all understand this, and if you don't, I'm getting ready to tell you, that Joseph was an Old Testament type of Jesus Christ. He was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rejected by his brothers, and he was sold as a slave, but he rose to greatness and became the deliverer of Israel. And, of course, Jesus Christ became the deliverer of the world. Amen. Another Old Testament type of Jesus Christ would be Moses, that came to deliver the people of God out of bondage. Amen. And so we can glean an awful lot from that. Joseph rose to greatness when Pharaoh had this dream, and he could not figure out the interpretation of the dream. At this point in time, Joseph was imprisoned. He was there wrongfully, and he was a man that was accustomed to dreams. And while in prison, he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. And the butler ended up before Pharaoh. And of course, you know the story, how that Pharaoh had his dream. Nobody could interpret it, but someone, the butler told him of Joseph, who was in prison, and he called for Joseph. And so Joseph was brought before the Pharaoh, and the dream that was interpreted was that there will be 7 years of plenty, and then there will be 7 years of famine. And he said, if you are wise, you will set someone over your affairs, and you will lay up in the 7 years of plenty, so that when the famine years come, there will be enough for Pharaoh and his house. And, of course, we know that Pharaoh put Joseph over the charge of this. And all of a sudden, there was a drive that rose up within Joseph. It was a drive that every day, I suppose, maybe he came to the same thing that I did. This is the day that the Lord has made. It's a brand new day. It's never existed before. And I've only got 24 hours to get something done in this day, so let's get busy and let's get with the program. Amen. And so Joseph traveled throughout Egypt, and when he saw a piece of property that didn't look too good, he said, I want you to go over there and plant some corn in that area right there. And he went through all of Egypt, and he found little spots here and there, large fields, of course, and everywhere he could, he planted corn. And you know how it is when there is more than enough and there is plenty. The price of something goes down. It's not as valuable because it's not as demanded. And Joseph every day was making sure that the crops were taken care of. And then the first year there was a great harvest. And of course he didn't wait to build the barns. He began to build barns the very first day, and the Bible says over the course of 7 years of plenty, he laid up corn without measure. They could not number it nor measure it because there was so much corn in the land of Egypt. And there was this drive that was in him. He was diligently working, and I've got a feeling, actually I know this is true, because during the 7 years of plenty, there was nobody else that was laying up in store. I've got a feeling that the word got out. You know how things leak out. And the word got out. Joseph is now in charge of this situation. And he says there's going to be 7 years of plenty. And so all of a sudden, there is 7 years of plenty. And all was well, and the people prospered, and everything was going good. Egypt, as well as the whole world, took advantage of the good times. There were lots of parties that were being made, or had, and there was a lot of excess that was going on. Nobody was building barns. Nobody was laying up in store for bad times. But Joseph was working and planning the next day's building project while everybody else was playing around and having parties and consuming the extra that came year after year. There was really nothing to stop them, and the true nature of people came out here. Somebody has said that the character and quality of an individual is not seen when all is going wrong, and a lot of folks come and they give their life to God when things are going wrong, but the real measure is when everything is going good. Amen. And not when we're oppressed, but when we have power and we can do whatever we want to do, because power, or poverty for that matter, without law becomes a disaster eventually. And poverty or wealth with law becomes order. And so these people, if we look at it this way tonight, the people of the world, the people of Egypt, they were not living by any law, if you please. Now, I know there were laws in the land, but they were not living by the law of the dream and the interpretation of the dream. It's going to be this way forever. Live your life today. Don't worry about tomorrow. But I'm here to tell us here tonight that if we are that way, we're going to run into a problem down the road somewhere. Amen. We do need to think about tomorrow, and we do need to think about what's going on in the future of our lives. And so they lived just as they did before the flood. The Bible says they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and carried them all away. Why worry? Everything's going great. Why live by rules and regulations when the land is before us? It's like a paradise every year. It's watered by the rains, and every year we have a bumper crop. Every year it just is going good. I'm making it all right, and so why worry about the future? And so they lived that way for 7 years, except for Joseph. Amen. Joseph was on a mission, and Joseph had a plan, and 7 years came and 7 years went, and everywhere you looked, there were storehouses, and they had numbers on them, and eventually they quit numbering them because there were so many of them. And these storehouses were not things that were casually thrown up. They were not cheap wooden structures, because they knew that the mice would come in and they could do a lot of damage and they could eat the crops that had been harvested here. And I saw a picture of one of the grain barns that was built in Egypt, and it was literally built out of stone. And it was built off of the ground about this high, and the pillars were made out of stone, and the floor and the walls and everything was made out of stone, so that rodents and the weather could not get in there. Joseph was very serious about what he was doing. It was not a casual situation, but he was very serious about what he was doing. And I believe tonight we need to be serious about what we're doing for God. I believe we need to be serious about what we're doing with our life. Somebody said amen. Amen. The eighth year came, and of course things drastically changed. No rain fell and there were no crops, and worry began to spread across Egypt like a disease. Amen. And the first year of famine, I'm assuming that people began to run out of food, and chaos began to put fear into people's hearts. Probably the theft rate went up drastically, and people were robbed for their money so they could go and buy some food. Violence was beginning to take place, and Joseph was there, and he had the answer. Amen. Finally, word came to Joseph about the situation. I'm just elaborating here tonight. And he had already been living his life according to a plan. And when this began to take place, Joseph implemented his second phase of his plan. He began to sell what was stored up in his grain bins. Amen. And this went on, and it didn't obviously go on for too long a time, but because he gathered up all of the money of Egypt. Nobody had any money. They had spent all of their money on this corn to live, and it was completely gone. And as we read tonight, the money failed. And I want us to see there is a progression of the downward path of lives that are lived without law in their lives. I want to impress this upon us here tonight, because we of all people must be those who live by law. Amen. That we live by the laws of God, or we're never going to hope to have order in our lives, because order only comes by the obedience to law. Amen. And law brings order. And of course, they were spiraling downward. And the next thing to go was their cattle. They gave over their cattle for the bread. And I can just see Joseph's bakeries. Everybody else's kitchen was silent because there was no corn hardly. And over there in Joseph land, I'm telling you what, they had jobs. And they were baking bread, and they were making bread for all of Egypt. There was singing, there was happiness, because we've got plenty, and we're doing just fine over here. But over on the other side of the fence, there was nothing that was taking place. And they were going strong, Joseph's bakery. And in the midst of the famine, there was plenty for everybody. And soon, all the cattle belonged to Pharaoh. You see tonight, a lawless life will begin to consume everything you've got. And soon all of the partying and the fun is no longer relevant anymore. Amen. Because we're running out of food. We're going to die here. And then as they went downward, the next thing to go was their houses and their lands. And then the Bible says they even sold their own bodies. Amen. And they sold themselves to Pharaoh. And now Pharaoh was in complete control of their lives. And he began to move them to cities and to camps and to places like that. It reminds me of people that I see all of the time. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. If you don't have law in your life, you're going to end up becoming someone who is a slave. Amen. In a very real sense of the word. Amen. The law brings us so many wonderful things. Amen. It brings us discipline. It brings us direction. It brings us order to our lives. And without order in our lives, we cannot hope to be blessed. Well, somebody said amen. And so Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that a fifth part will go unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own for the seed of the field and for your food and so forth." And Joseph made it a law. 20% of disposable income going to Pharaoh and to his kingdom. Amen. I remember those days. That Pharaoh, who is a type and a shadow of Satan. Amen. A type and a shadow of sin that brings people into bondage and brings them into hurtful places. Amen. If you're not careful, if you don't live under law, eventually he's going to pass his law over you. That I am now in complete control of your life, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. Amen. But there is a way to be free from sin. There is a way to be free from the laws of Satan, if you please, that he passes, the gates of hell passes, and that's by freedom of Jesus Christ, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, and breaking free out of that bondage that we have found ourselves in. Amen. But it's not enough just to be born again. We have to have order in our lives. And the only place that order comes from is through the law. And so Joseph saw that unless there is some sort of order here, this thing is going to spin out of control. Amen. And so he made it a law. I'm sure after a period of time, here they were praising him and saying, "Oh, you've saved us with our lives. We'll happily give this to you. We'll happily live this way." But I'm sure after a period of time, it became very grievous. We've got to give 20% of this to this Pharaoh. You know what? The devil charges more than God does. Maybe that's not a good way to look at it. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, the devil requires a whole lot more than God requires, and he doesn't give anything back. Amen. He owns your land, he owns your house, he owns your body, he owns everything, and then on top of that, he makes you work for him, and he charges you a high percentage of everything. Well, praise God. The Bible says we work and we put it into bags with holes in it. That's because we're not living by law. Amen. We're not living by the law of God, but we're living by our own law. Amen. And so where there is law, there is order. And where there is order, there is freedom. And where there is freedom, there is peace. And where there is peace, there is prosperity. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, there is blessings for everybody that's here and many that are not here tonight. Praise God. And it is by simply coming to God and submitting to the laws of God and the order that God has for our life. Praise God. And when we do that, all of these things, freedom and peace and prosperity and order comes into our lives. Oh, it might take a little bit of time to get these things established, but my friend, it is worth it. It really is worth it. Praise God. We were driving down the road today, in fact, and we saw one police officer sitting beside the road, and there he was, waiting to catch somebody that was speeding. And we made comment about that. And I made sure I was going the speed limit while I went past him. And so we're driving down the road, and a thought came to me, and I thought, what would happen to our society if all of a sudden there were no police officers and there was no law? How long would it take for our society to spiral down into anarchy and destruction? Our economy would go down to nothing. Every business would end up closing. There would be no prosperity. There would be death. There would be famine. There would be all kinds of things if all of a sudden in one day there was no law enforcement and there was no law to enforce. I remember when we lived in Boston that there was a major problem that developed, and it happened instantly, and the whole city of New York City was blacked out. All of the lights went out, and it was out for about an hour or two. They said as soon as the lights went out in New York City, people came out of nowhere, and they began to smash windows in stores, and they began to carry out furniture. They began to carry out TVs. They began to carry out everything they could get their hands on. And they began to loot and pillage and plunder. And it happened in a moment's time because they realized there is no law to stop me and I'm going to go in this direction. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful for our police. Amen. I'm thankful for our firefighters. I'm thankful for our military. I'm thankful for the laws. Well, not all of them, but I'm thankful for the laws of the land. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the blessing of being in a country where you can prosper and where you're free. Amen. But let's take it a little bit further tonight. I'm glad I'm in a kingdom tonight where there is the opportunity for freedom. There is the opportunity for prosperity. There is the opportunity for tremendous order, amen, and blessings in my life. I'm thankful tonight for the church. I'm thankful tonight for the Lord in my life. I'm thankful tonight, amen, that we have a place where we can come together and we can help one another and strengthen one another. Somebody ought to say amen to that tonight. Amen. Praise God. But they did not see the blessing of law and order in their lives. And just like the people had despised this law, we can fall into the same trap as well. If we're not careful, amen, we can spiral down as many do and get used to being in bondage. Amen. Get used to spending all of your money on cigarettes. Get used to spending all your money on alcohol. Get used to spending all of your money on entertainment. Amen. And going from place to place because you have no money to pay the bills. I'm telling you tonight, there are many that live that way, and simply because they despise the law. I'm telling you tonight that the law gives us freedom and the law gives us prosperity. But on the other hand, if we're wise and we become accustomed to the laws of God and learn over time that the blessings of God are for us, amen, then we're in a good place. Amen. It's not easy to get accustomed to laws. Amen. Not always. Amen. They've got a new law now in Wichita that you can't panhandle. You can't stand on the street corners and panhandle. And if you see somebody that's doing that, they actually do it for a living. Some of them do it for a living. And it's become a danger and it's become a hazard. And they said that they passed the law that said that if you are caught giving money to a panhandler, you can be pulled over and given a fine. This is in Wichita. And I haven't seen any panhandlers out there. And they can be fined as well. It's hard to get used to laws. Especially, I'm looking at some young men on the front row tonight. And any of you guys have a driver's license yet? No? You got a permit, but you can't drive by yourself. So you don't have power and authority yet. You got to have your dad sitting beside you or somebody else sitting beside you that's of age that says, slow down, man, slow down. But the day's going to come with all of you, and Some of you can say amen because you know what I'm talking about. And would you go to the store and get me a loaf of bread, Gavin? By myself? Yeah, by yourself. And all of a sudden you get behind the wheel and you whoom, 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 and you feel the power. And nobody's around and nobody knows. And I know a stretch down there and I want to see what this thing will do. And you try it out one time and you didn't get caught. And then another time and you didn't get caught. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere you see these red and blue lights in the back rearview mirror. And he pulls you over and you come walking in the house with a loaf of bread and a little piece of paper in your hand. And it says, be at court. And the fee and the fine is going to be $145. It's hard to get used to laws until you see the power of the law. Amen. And then all of a sudden you curb your way of thinking about driving. That one right there was free, all right? Some of you parents ought to say thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Because we've got to get accustomed to the laws. You know, God has a way for us. God has a plan for us. Amen. God has a order for us. Amen. He has an order for the men. He has an order for the ladies. He has an order for the children and the young people. Amen. He has order for those that are married. There is an order to the will and the plan of God. But sometimes it takes getting accustomed to those laws and learning over time and seeing the blessings of the laws of the Lord. I'm going to read something here in just a little bit that will prove that to us. But what is required is discipline. Amen. Not only discipline, but a willing heart, and not just a willing heart, but a understanding of the blessings of the life that I'm living for God. It's just like Joseph. He was willing and he was passionate and he was disciplined. There were no doubt days that he wanted to take off. And of course, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to rest one day a week. And so there's no condemnation in that. But I'm telling you tonight, that there is the temptation after a course of time to say, well, that's not really that big of a deal. I'm just going to slack up in this area. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph kept plugging away. He just kept plugging away. Amen. And when it was all said and done, he was the one that came out on top. Amen. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, let's turn there tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to finish here in a few minutes, but I want to try to give you something to take home with you tonight. Matthew 3 and 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. It wasn't a dove, but it was like a dove. And lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. There was the time of plenty right there. Things are moving, voice from heaven, and I think they even used this scripture in the debate the other night, I think, if I remember right. Did you all use this scripture? And there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost right there. Well, if you go to the book of John and you read his account, Jesus Christ said, speaking of his Father, he said, you have never seen his shape nor heard his voice at any time. Amen. And so it was not a dove, but it was a confirmation of who Jesus Christ was. He was the Son of God. Amen. God did not have to get baptized. All right, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Now look at this here tonight. This may seem odd, but here a voice comes from heaven, and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Then, everybody said then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered, and the tempter came to him and began to tempt him. And he tempted him three times. He tempted him with the lust of the flesh, with the lust of the eyes, and with the pride of life. Amen. And he used the word of God. He used the law of God. And if you please, he was in a famine of sorts. But he made it through the time of famine because he had prepared himself before this took place. Now, hear me tonight. Those of you that are just starting out with the Lord, after your baptism, you're going to find opposition coming to you. And sometimes it is almost as quickly as it reads here in the Scripture. I've seen it many times, and folks that I teach, when they say, I want to be baptized, I will tell them 9 times out of 10, be careful, because the enemy is going to attack you after this, because he wants to get you before you can get deeper into the laws of God and into the Word of God. Don't worry about the troubles that come. Don't worry about situations that take place, because many, many times they're from the enemy of your soul, just trying to get you off track, trying to get you to stay away from church, trying to get you to stay away from prayer, trying to take you away from your spiritual discipline with God and establishing order and law in your life. I'm telling you tonight, can I just preach to us just a minute here tonight? Can I? Amen. I'm telling you tonight that if we have the opportunity to be in the house of God and we just don't bother coming, I'm telling you, you're losing the value of law in your life. And you could be on a stair step downward into more trouble than you know what to do with. Amen. God came into our life to establish order. God came into our lives to establish the law into our lives. We must respond with discipline. We must respond with faithfulness. We must respond, amen, with passion and an understanding of why we're doing what we're doing. Amen. I'm on the way to blessing tonight. Praise God. And I'm sowing seed. When everybody else is partying, I'm going to sow the seed. When everybody else is doing their thing, I'm going to be over here teaching a Bible study. Amen. When my friends are out doing whatever, I'm going to be spending time with the Lord. I'm not against hobbies, and the Word of God is not against hobbies. I think we need to have diversion in our life, and we need to have some sort of, what's the word that I want to use? You can't stay focused on one thing forever. You've got to break away from it and then come back to it. Amen. Because that's just the way it is with us. But I'm not going to take a break from the house of God. I'm not going to take a break from living for God. Amen. I'm going to do my best to stay focused and stay in the place that He wants to be. He wants me to be. And so Jesus was tested, and there's another scripture. The Bible says that God does not tempt, and God cannot be tempted, but Jesus was tempted by the devil simply because he was a man. Amen. He was the Son of God, and he submitted to this testing by a famine of sorts. But he made it through because of his prayers. Amen. He made it through because he had spent time in fasting, spent time in prayer, spent time with God. Amen. And folks that don't make it, folks that fall by the wayside, they are not laying up in the time of plenty, but they're waiting. If a famine comes, they call out to God, and there's no answer. Amen. The answer happened 6 months ago. The answer came 6 months ago off of the pulpit. Amen. 6 months ago or 3 months ago, the Word of God came, and it was designed to prepare you for something that's coming along in the future, but you weren't there to hear it. Amen. I'm telling you, we need the Word of God. It is the seed that God has given us, and we need to lay it up in store. Praise God. We need to lay it up without measure. We need to memorize it. We need to study it. We need to meditate on it. Praise God. Because it is the law of God, and it is the order that God has for our life. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 1, and you know this, Psalm 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the law of God. We are blessed tonight because of the law of God. We are. You're sitting in your pew, and you don't have to be strapped down because of fear of floating off around in space somewhere. You're sitting there because of the law of gravity. It's a physical law. It's a law that God implemented when he created all things. He just didn't throw things out there, but he threw it out with his word. And his word was the law to the physical universe. There are laws of thermodynamics. Amen. There are many laws, many physical laws that men build bridges by and build airplanes by and do all sorts of things because they know these laws are stable and they will always produce the same results over and over again. Isn't it amazing that the elements obey the laws of God? Nature obeys the law of God. The physical universe obeys the law of God. The universe is not chaotic, but there is an order to it. Amen. Because it is submitted to the law of God. It has to be, but there's where we are different. We don't have to be. We have a choice whether or not we want to submit ourselves to the law of God. There are physical laws and there are spiritual laws. How is it that we think that we can defy the physical laws and go jump off a 20-story building? We can't. We're foolish. How can we break the laws of God and put water in our gas tank instead of gasoline? It's foolish. It won't work. It will never work. How in the world then can we break the laws of God and say, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to go in my own direction, amen, I don't need to submit to the laws of God? Oh friend, we're fooling ourselves, because the day is going to come when there is a famine in the land. We've got to have our lamps full of oil, praise God. We can't put it off till tomorrow, we've got to take care of business today. I've got to build another barn today. I've got to go harvest some more. There's a little patch over there that's ready to harvest. Get over there now before the birds get a hold of it, before the deer come and eats it. Amen. We've got to harvest this. Many, many folks probably thought that Joseph was crazy. Amen. Because of his passion in this area. But folks, if we can become passionate about the plenty that we have right now and establish order in our lives. Amen. If you don't know what to do, praise God. Ask, and we can help you find the order that God has for your life. Amen. It's not the will of God that we haphazardly just go through life hoping that everything's going to work out. Thank God he didn't create the world like that. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19:1, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Amen. God's a builder, and my, what a builder he is. I saw where they focused the Hubble Space Telescope when they first put it up there. They focused it for 11 days on a dark patch of sky in which there was nothing. It was dark. It was black. No telescope could pick up anything. And for 11 days, this telescope, 25,000 miles out in space, was focused on that one spot for 11 days, soaking in all of the light. And when they captured the image after 11 days, they found in one of the darkest spots in the sky, there were 10,000 galaxies that thing took a picture of right there in that little bitty, if you look up in the sky, it's about a 1-inch by 1-inch square. And as far as they could see, amen, 10,000 galaxies. And God put it into existence. Praise God. God said, let there be stars. And 10,000 galaxies so far that nobody could see them until the Hubble Space Telescope went into orbit of the Earth. My God is a wonderful God. And when he puts things together, he puts them together right. Amen. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. When he built his church, he didn't throw it together. Amen. Come on. Come on, somebody help me tonight. Praise God. When he filled us with the Holy Ghost and gave us the Word of God, he didn't just throw it together. It's got order to it. It's got perfect order to it. And it's for you, and it's for me, and it's for us to get a hold of today and apply in our lives today, because the day of famine is surely coming. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voices is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Praise God. He looked at it in his limited understanding of the universe, and he said, wow, what a God we serve. He builds things right, and there is order to it. Every day it comes up at the same time. Every month the moon circles the earth at a certain rate. Amen. We can gauge the planets by their movements, and we can predict where they're going to be in 1,000 years from now, because of their consistency and their order. Amen. And then it's almost as if David got off track here, but he wasn't off track. The very next verse he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, by the law and the word of God, is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Thank God. Thank God for law and order. Thank God for law and order. Amen. I'm glad when I wake up in the morning or when I go to bed at night, I don't worry about bands of wild people coming through the land and destroying and burning and killing and robbing and whatever else. I'm thankful that we live in a country today, amen, a country today where there's blessings and there's freedom and there's security. Anybody else feel that way tonight? It's because we are a country of laws. Countries where there is poverty, You're going to find one man in charge, and he can do whatever he wants to do. You're going to find poverty. You're going to find destruction. You're going to find all kinds of problems here, there, and everywhere. We're seeing it happening right now in communist China, where the leader of China was just voted that he could be the leader of China until his death. And just a couple of weeks after he was voted in like that, he started a campaign in China, and it's called Unity of Thought. Now that doesn't sound American, that's for sure. Unity of Thought. And they're outlawing Bibles, and it's going to take them a little bit of time, but they're reprinting state-approved Bibles. And they have altered the Bible to make it a communist Bible. And if you have a communist Bible, it's okay. But if you have a King James Version Bible, or any other version for that matter, you could be arrested. Because we've got to have unity of thought here. This Bible and atheism don't go together. And you know what's getting ready to happen to China? China is getting ready to go in this direction. When Stalin took over Russia and became the dictator of that country, it went like this. When Vietnam was taken over by the communists, it went like this. Millions of people died. They were tortured. They were murdered. It was horrible. I remember those days. And the people in the South were screaming and crying to get onto helicopters, and they would take the Huey helicopters. People were hanging off of the landing gear, and they would fly out and land on the American ships, and then they would push the helicopter overboard, and another helicopter would land, and they would push it overboard, and another, but many, many didn't make it. And all of that trouble and all of that problem was because there was no law and order. There were no moral laws, and there was no order. I'm telling you tonight, folks, we must develop law in our lives. And when we see the value of the law, when we see the value of obedience to the law of God, I'm telling you, order comes into your life. Praise the Lord. And instead of spending all your money just on your bread this week, you lay a little bit aside. You put a little bit aside, and before you know it, it grows and grows and grows and grows. Amen. We don't have any food. We don't have any extra food. We're just living week by week. And you know what? If you start out with God and you're just living week by week, that's all right. But after you've been living for God 15 or 20 years and you're just living week to week, I'm telling you, there's something that's not right. Amen. You should be going this way. You should be laying something aside. You should be building up for the future, because, my friend, the future is coming. Well, I'm just waiting for the rapture. Well, that's great. And we're all waiting for the rapture. But there's a day coming when you're going to be old enough that you're not going to work anymore. And the only place you're going to have to look is to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is not a good caretaker. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. God bless you tonight.